You guys can have a seat. You guys can open up your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 12, 1 through 7, and Romans 12, 1 through 6. It's pretty easy. They're kind of similar. But the title of this message tonight is The Giver. The Giver. And then once again, that's 1 Corinthians 12, 1 through 7, Romans 12, 1 through 6. God is a giver. He's not a taker, right? He's a giver. And that's what we're going to look at tonight, my friends, are the gifts of the Holy Spirit. If you were here last week, Pastor Kelly gave a great message about the fruits of the Holy Spirit and how we need to keep in step with the Holy Spirit to let Him work in and through us so that the world can see our fruit of what is changed on the inside. So like I said, tonight we're going to be talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Did you guys catch that one word, right? Gifts. I know we ask this a lot, but we all love gifts in here, right? You can be honest, right? We all love gifts. And I want you guys to think just really about what this message, what the heart of this is the gifts of the Holy Spirit. You're like, yeah, it's the gifts of the Holy Spirit. What do you mean? We're going to dig at that tonight, guys. We're going to see just really what the gifts of the Spirit means, just really the depth of that. See, there are presents when you have the Holy Spirit. It's a win-win. It's like Christmas all year round with the Holy Spirit, right? It's like Christmas all year round with the Holy Spirit, guys. We have access to Santa Claus year round, right? He's better than Santa Claus. He's the King of Kings, right? So we have these presents, these gifts when we are filled with the Holy Spirit. I want to start tonight by just talking about how much you mean to God. How much you mean to God. We've been talking about the Holy Spirit and how it's a gift, right? About who the Holy Spirit is, what the Holy Spirit does, the fruits of the Spirit. Now we're talking about the gifts of the Spirit. And guys, I want you to just grab a hold of really how beautiful and amazing the Holy Spirit is. I want us to just think about that. Ask yourself, do you appreciate the Holy Spirit? Have you ever even thought about appreciating the Holy Spirit? Do you know what to appreciate? Do we value Him? Are we thankful for the Holy Spirit? Because remember, guys, the Holy Spirit is Jesus in us, right? Jesus living in us, God in us, helping us with life, helping us navigate through the storms, through the meadows, through the good, through the bad. God went so far to not only send His Son to die for us, right? But to rise again and to give us this helper, this companion, this navigator. And that's the Holy Spirit, my friends. And so I just want to take a minute. If you guys could just, in the quietness of your heart, just take 5 seconds, close your eyes, and just thank God for the Holy Spirit. Let's just do that just for a second. Just thank God for the Holy Spirit. And we're back. Thank you, Jesus, right? The Holy Spirit rips. If you guys are like me, you really need the Holy Spirit, right? Amen. Is anybody there? You know? Because I know who I am. And maybe you know who you are. Maybe you're looking in some kind of like magic mirror, right? And you're like, man, you look good. I'm like, dang, dude, you don't look that good for me. Because I know what's on the inside, right? So if you're anything like me, we need the Holy Spirit. And the cool thing is, my friends, is that in order to really grab a hold of what God wants to show you tonight, thankfulness is necessary. So in order to really grab a hold of what God wants to speak to you, thankfulness is necessary. We need to start off with a thankful heart. Because from thankfulness, guys, God wants to speak. And when we're thankful, we open up our hearts and our minds and say, God, I know I need this. I'm thankful for it. I receive it. So let's be thankful tonight and trust God. When I was in middle school, before this special place closed down and then it made a reopening years later, but anybody like Krispy Kreme in here? Whoa. Yes. So when I was in middle school, Krispy Kreme was like the jam. We would roll up. We had a green Suburban. We called it the Cucumber. And my dad's like, yeah, let's get in the cucumber, mate. Let's go to Krispy Kreme and get some donuts. And I'm like, oh, Dad, thank you. So we go down in the green submarine, the cucumber, right? We roll up. I'm like, kick the door down. I'm like, where's my donut, right? And I jump in there, and like, they have the hot and ready sign. I'm like, dude, okay, it's game time. So, you know, you go and you get a free donut because they just made it. It's secretly like a marketing ploy to get you to buy lots of donuts. And it works. But I remember in middle school, they offered every student one donut for every A that you got. And it was tight. Does anybody know if they still do that? They do. Dang it, I'm not a student anymore. Hey, if you're a student, take advantage. Get A's because you get a free donut. Okay. So I was in middle school and I found out about this. And there was like this prize, this reward for getting straight A's. And I was so stoked. You know, six donuts, free donuts. But as a kid, I was like, this is gold. I almost went down to like the valley and enrolled as a fake student in another school just to get 12 donuts, right? Like, I was that stoked. And it's funny because now I'm like, man, dude, it's like 10 bucks. I'll just buy them, right? I'm not going to get A's for that, right? But as a kid, I was stoked, and there was this challenge and like this, there's like this quest for the donuts, right? And I was like, I accept. And I had like pulled out a sword and slayed those teacher dragons and got straight A's, and it was tight. But I remember they had this prize, this reward. Six donuts for every A. See, guys, I was offered this prize for being willing to accept this quest, right? And I want you guys to write this down. The first thing you can write down is his gift, my prize. I bring up that story because it's kind of a similar route when you're a Christian. See, God has this prize for you. He has this gift, this reward, if you will. If you just accept him and follow him, right? And that gift is the Holy Spirit. It's way better than a donut, right? It's way better than 12 donuts. But I remember just that feeling, guys, of like, man, I'm like so thankful for Krispy Kreme. Like, I'm like so stoked for these donuts. Like, they melt in my mouth. Like, I can eat like 12 of them and still be hungry, right? Because that's the sixth grader in me. But guys, I wonder if we get as stoked as a silly box of donuts as we do for the Holy Spirit. I wonder if we get as stoked for the God of the universe in us as we do for maybe a new car or maybe some new friends. Or maybe you hit 1,000 followers on Instagram and you're crying, right? You're like, oh my, I'm Insta-famous, right? Whatever it is, are we as stoked for the Holy Spirit as we are for the things of the world? So like I said, there's this prize, there's this gift offered to us Christians, a gift given freely. If we accept the quest, if you will, to follow Jesus, if we are open to the Holy Spirit, we get the gift of the Holy Spirit, but we also get the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The word gift in Greek means undeserved favor. It's important to realize that these spiritual gifts that were given by the Holy Spirit aren't based off of what we've done. See, my gift of the six donuts was based off of what I did, right? Because of my hard work, because of my cheating, right? I got six donuts. Just kidding, I didn't cheat. It's a joke, you can laugh. Ha ha. Yeah, you're alive, great. Man, now you're going a bit too far with that one. Hey, you guys are savage. So I could go to Krispy Kreme, I could say, hey, I've got this report card, I know the requirements A's, but I have six F's, can I get some donuts? And they'd say, nice try, kid. If you keep up that, maybe you'll work here one day, I don't know. So, just kidding, you can work at Krispy Kreme, it's great. I kind of secretly wish, no I don't. Okay, anyways. You get free donuts, true. But if you work for the church, you get free spirit, free Jesus. Yeah, just kidding. We all get Jesus for free. So it's based off of what I did, right? But see, it's a bit different with salvation, my friends, because the gift of forgiveness, gift of the Holy Spirit, isn't based off of what I did. It's based off of what God did. There was a requirement, too, that was needed in order for God to be satisfied. See, it's his work, our prize. It's his gift, our prize. He took our failure, turned it into acceptance. He took those F's, right, and turned them into A's. See, guys, we need to realize that God has given us power. He's given us special abilities that we couldn't do before. It's like this spiritual mutation that happens when you meet the Holy Spirit. See, if you're a Christian, you've been given these special abilities that only you can do because it's the Spirit in you. Let me explain. 1 Corinthians 12:1-7. Paul writes, he says, "Now, dear brothers and sisters, regarding your question about the special abilities the Spirit gives us, I don't want you to misunderstand this. You know that when you were still pagans, you were led astray and swept along in worshiping speechless idols. So I want you to know that no one speaking by the Spirit of God will curse Jesus. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but is the same God who does the work in all of us." Verse 7, "A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. To one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. To another, the same Spirit gives the message of special knowledge. The same Spirit gives great faith to another. And to someone else, the one Spirit gives the gift of healing. He gives one person the power to perform miracles and another the ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. Still, another person is given the ability to speak in unknown languages, while another is given the ability to interpret what is being said. Verse 11, "It is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have." So it's important to realize that God decides the who, the what, the when, the where, the why, the how, if you will. See, God distributes these gifts to his people, and he does them for a reason. The importance of the gifts is important to talk about. Because we can read this, right? And it's kind of crazy. And maybe you read that list and you're like, "Well, I don't prophesy, or, you know, I don't think I have the spiritual gift of healing, or, you know, maybe I'm wise, maybe on a good day," right? But see, guys, we're going to dig at why God gives us these spiritual gifts, at how we can use them, how we can get them, and why they're important. It's good to realize that these spiritual gifts are important because they show the world that there is a God. They show the world that there is a God, that it's not us doing these special abilities, these crazy things. It's the Spirit of God. You know, God calls us to be different than the world, right? But being different isn't just maybe like dressing differently or maybe saying cool words or driving a different type of car, whatever. See, being different is having the Holy God in you, powering you up, gifting you to do things that you could never even dream of. Things that you could never even dream of doing. That is the Spirit of God working in you. I remember, man, it was before Berkeley was even born. It was before we found out we were having a girl. And I had this dream, this vision. And I remember in this dream, in this vision, I was looking at this little girl. And she was maybe about 3 years old, and she had, you know, big teeth like me as a kid. And she was smiling at me. And I just knew in my dream, my vision, I said, "You're Berkeley." And it turns out 10 months later, we had this girl, this baby girl, and her name's Berkeley, obviously. And you may say, oh, well, that's cool. It's a coincidence. You know, I believe, guys, that God is powerful enough to reveal stuff to us in dreams, in visions, right? In words. I remember even, you know, my parents, they met in Hong Kong. Maybe you know this story, maybe you don't. My dad, he's an Aussie, right? Mom, she grew up in Corrales, this little village by the river. And God told them both to go to Hong Kong. They didn't know each other. So they go from around the world, and they meet in this city of 2.5 billion people. And my dad was like, yo, this American woman's pretty tight. I kind of want to marry a guy. What do you think? And he's like, pray about it. So my dad throws out this fleece. And in the Bible, there's this story about this guy named Gideon. And he's going to go out to battle. And he's saying, all right, Lord, if you're going to be with me, I'm going to put out this lamb's fleece, this lamb's skin. And I pray that the next morning, the fleece be wet and everything else around it be dry. They don't know you're with me. And so he goes out, and the fleece is wet. Everything's dry. And he says, all right, I'm going to just double check. So he says, God, allow the ground to be wet and the fleece to be dry. So he goes out the next morning. Fleece is dry. Ground's wet. He's like, God, you're with me. This is a sign. Boom, goes out to battle, wins. It's awesome. So my dad read that, and he said, you know what? God, here's my fleece. Allow somebody to tell me it's time. And I'll get on a knee and I'll propose. So they're at the airport, long story short, and they're going to go off to separate parts of China for 6 months. And my dad says, hey, you know, let's pray. So they pray four times. My dad's like, the Lord show you anything? Lord show you anything? She's like, no. And then after the fourth time, she said, you know what? I don't know what you want me to say, but it's time. So she said the very thing that my dad prayed for. And he gets on a knee, he proposes to her. 27 years later, here I am. And I have this dream when I was dating Chantel. And in my dream, my mom told me that it's time to marry this woman. And I woke up and I'm like, whoa, this is crazy. I share that with you guys because God speaks to his people. God speaks to his people. And we're talking about the spiritual gifts. And God has given people the ability to see dreams and visions and to prophesy and to have wise advice and to heal and to have compassion. The list goes on. We're going to look at them again. But I want you to know that if you trust God, if you're open to the Holy Spirit, he's going to move and he's going to speak to you. And he's going to speak to you if you let him. So the gifts of the Spirit are valuable. And not only that, but they're extraordinary. They're supernatural. There's no explanation for the spiritual gifts other than God. And we are each given gifts by the Holy Spirit. We each play a part in something bigger than ourselves. The second thing you guys can write down is hands to hearts. Hands to hearts. Each one of us in the church plays a different role. Jesus calls the church his body. Has anybody ever heard that? Right? The church is called the body of Christ. If you didn't hear that, now you know. Which means that each one of us is a different part of that body. See, if God's given you the spiritual gift of healing people, of having compassion, maybe you're a hand. Maybe you've been given the gift of great faith. Maybe you desire to go from downtown Albuquerque all the way to Australia to share the gospel, right? Maybe you're a foot. Maybe the Spirit has given you the spiritual gift of wise advice. Maybe you're the mouth. Maybe the Spirit has given you the gift of healing, compassion. Maybe you're the heart. Maybe you have a great heart to love people, to encourage people. There's a story that Pastor Skip shared, and it was about this city somewhere in Eastern Europe. And it was after World War II. They had this statue of Jesus in their city, and it was like this icon, right? It was beautiful. They loved it. Well, the statue got blown up. And there was pieces everywhere. Jesus, the statue of Jesus was everywhere. And so they grabbed all the pieces and they put them all together, but they couldn't find the hands. They couldn't find the hands. And so they finally looked around and they're like, what? Jesus, his hands, like, they're so iconic. Like, where are they? And they found a note on the statue that says, he has no hands but ours. He has no hands but ours. What that means, church, is that we are his hands and feet. We are the parts of his body. And what we're talking about tonight specifically, right, are the spiritual gifts and how he empowers, how he gives us to complete that, to be his hands and his feet, to be the mouth, the heart. So I want you guys to ask yourself, do I have a spiritual gift? Have I asked God for a spiritual gift? Do I know what my spiritual gift is? See, guys, it's important to just know that these abilities, these special abilities, are only given by God. It's nothing that we can do except ask for them, right? And the Bible says that God is a good father, and he's going to give to his children what they ask, right? He says even the sinful parents give good gifts to their children. So how much more is a good and loving father going to gift his children? He has gifted you. And maybe you're the heart, but maybe your friend's like a foot. And you're like, dude, I love feet. I want to be your foot, right? That may be a bit weird, right? But I want you to know that if you're a different part of the body, it's okay to be different. It's okay to be you, my friends. I want you guys to know that God has made you, specifically you. And he loves you, and he has a plan and a purpose. And he's given you a gift, and he wants you to be the foot if he's called you to be the foot. If he's given you such a heart to just love people and to encourage them, be the heart. Don't be somebody you're not made to be. It's okay to be you, my friends. See, before Christ, you were one way. And after Christ, you're completely different. When the Holy Spirit enters, he amplifies you. You know, I think it's important that we differentiate God-given gifts and spiritual gifts. Because God-given gifts are the gifts that God gives us at inception, right? Like, I'm praying, I'm like, God, man, like, give Berkeley the gift to play guitar so maybe one day we can, like, play and sing together, right? Like, that'd be tight. See, God, he's given me a gift to be a musician, right? And that's different than a spiritual gift. You guys following me? You good? So, it's important that we differentiate the God-given gifts and the spiritual gifts. Because you see, guys, the spiritual gifts are the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and they are done completely by him. Me being a talented musician, whether you agree with that or not, right? Whether me being able to play guitar, you know, God has given me that ability, right? But he's also given me different abilities. He's given you different spiritual abilities to maybe go out and to have the power to lay your hands on somebody and pray for them and to see God heal them. Or maybe you're in prayer and you feel like, man, I just need to go to that person. I just need to tell them this thing that God's told me to. I met this girl the other few weeks ago. One of my friends came into town, and this girl came with him, and I just felt like this burning, like this tug in my heart to go and tell her that God loves her. And so I went up to her. I said, hey, I don't know you, but I just have to tell you that God loves you and he's forgiven you. If you trust in him, he says he's going to make you new, and he's going to wipe your sin away. He's going to give you hope in the future. And shared the whole gospel with her. And she's staying there and she's crying. And I'm like being moved because I'm like, God, this is you, right? You see, guys, we are just a vessel in order to be used by God. Does that make sense? If God's telling you, go and lay your hand on that person and pray for him in Jesus' name because I'm going to heal him, you do it. If God's giving you a word to prophesy or maybe to pray in tongues, to speak in this unknown language, do it. Because the Bible says, right, like Paul said, he said, hey, God has given some people the ability to speak in unknown languages. And then he's also given somebody the ability to translate that. You see, guys, all of this stuff, whether it's confusing to you or not, if you're tracking with me, I hope so. It's important to know that if we open our hearts to the Holy Spirit, there's power. There's abilities that God wants to do through us. Extraordinary, unbelievable things. Because I look out and I see you guys, and I have a perspective that not a lot of you do. I can see everybody. I can see if you're on your phone. I can see if you're talking to your neighbor, right? And I'm not calling anybody out. But I look around and I see potential. I see beautiful people. I see hands and I see hearts and I see feet. And I see people who are made in the image of God. And I wonder, guys, are we living up to our potential in Christ? Are we opening our hearts to be used and say, you know what, God? I want to ask you just for the spiritual gift of wisdom, because I've been making a lot of decisions that maybe aren't the best. My friends are hurting. I want to just have your wisdom, God, so I can know what to do, so I can pray for people, so I can think before I speak. God, my mom's dying of cancer. I just pray that you give me the gift of healing so you can heal her, so I can pray for her and see you heal her, God. See, guys, it's important that if we ask for the gifts, God is going to give us the gift. But it's also crucial that we realize that his timing beats ours. His timing beats ours. Just because we pray, God, give me wisdom. God, give me the gift of healing. God, give me the gift to prophesy or to speak in unknown languages. We need to know that only when we're being led by the Spirit is he going to flow through us. Because you can't expect God to flow through you if you're blocking him, right? You can't expect God to flow in and through you if you have walls up. If you've got walls up around your heart. Guys, it's crucial that you let those walls fall down. Because the truth is, Spectrum, we're not going to grow. We're not going to reach our schools. We're not going to reach our city. We're not going to change the hearts. We're not going to see the hearts of our family and our brothers and sisters come to Jesus unless we let down the walls. Unless the Spirit flows through us. What I talked about to start, right, was this fear, this lack of trust. Do you trust that the King of Kings, that the Holy Spirit, is going to carry you through? Or are you kind of doubting, so you build up this wall and you're like, man, I don't know what to do. God, I don't really trust you. I want to just bring up this story in the Bible. It's in Acts chapter 2. Maybe you've heard of it, but it was this event called Pentecost. And these disciples, they were so open to the Holy Spirit. They let down the walls of their heart. The Spirit came and flowed through them and flowed like a fire, guys. It was the biggest revival that's taken place since. I just want to read this to you. It's Acts chapter 2, 17 through 21. It says, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below. Blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Guys, God wants to pour out his Spirit. He says he's going to. But my prayer is that God will pour out his Spirit so heavily on us at Spectrum, guys, that there would be revival in this city. There'd be revival in our schools. There'd be revival in our hearts. Because, guys, the truth is, we're sick. We're dying. Our friends, our schools, these people are dying. Get past the social media, get past college, get past who you're going to marry, all that stuff. That's important, except social media, right? But the truth is, my friend, is time is short. Let's be a youth group. Let's be a church that shakes. I want this earth to shake because God puts his foot down at Spectrum ABQ. Right? Amen? I want to see The city changed, guys, and it starts with us. It starts with us, my friends. If we open up our hearts to the Holy Spirit, He's going to flow. He's going to do things that we've never seen before. So that day at Pentecost, the Spirit came, and it said that the Spirit flew down like flaming tongues, and it landed on these people, and they're speaking in unknown languages. And there's people there that are hearing the gospel in languages that only they know. And people are like, you've had too much wine. They're like, no, it's only like 11 a.m. We don't drink. Like, this is God speaking, moving. And the Bible said that like about 3,000 people got saved. That's huge. All because the Spirit of God poured down, my friends. Guys, the Spirit of God wants to pour down tonight. But if you're blocking your heart, He's not going to be able to come through. Open your heart. Guys, I want us to be open to the Holy Spirit. I want us to be a youth group that isn't afraid to be us, that isn't afraid to go and to share the gospel, that isn't afraid to put our hands on our friends and to pray for them, to pray for healing, to pray for revival, to pray that God would help them in their addictions, that He would heal them of their sin. Guys, I want us to be a youth group that sings at the top of our lungs, that shakes these walls because our God is worthy and we're not afraid to do that. I don't want us to be dry bones. I don't want us to just be here and be dead. Let's be alive because that's who Jesus has made us to be. Yeah. When you guys come here, be open to the Spirit. Be open to use your spiritual gifts that He's given you. Do not be afraid. We're not going to judge you. The only people that are going to be judging are the people next to you. Right? And that's unfortunate. Guys, be open. Be yourself. Be free because Jesus, He's freed you. If you're in sin, you're not free. You need to come to Jesus. You need to repent. You need to open your heart. Let that Spirit in. Let that forgiveness flow. And live like you mean it. The third thing you guys can write down is that to be led by the Spirit, to use our spiritual gifts, we must live honestly. Honestly. There's a kid I knew when I was younger who loved to skateboard. And he had, you know, he dressed the part, knew all the skaters, you know, had posters in his room, watched video parts. And he fit the part pretty good. But the only problem was, so he wasn't any good at skateboarding. And that's okay. But what I'm getting at here is he had the desire, but he didn't have the gifting. Turns out he was really good at golf, not skateboarding. I'm like, dude, you need to go be the next Tiger Woods. Don't be sketchy though, right? But go and golf, man. Like your gifting isn't to skateboard. And I bring that up because, guys, we need to be honest about ourselves. We need to be honest about who we are and not just trying to be something that we're not. If God has called you to be the hands, to go and to lay your hands and use that spiritual gift that God has given you, or maybe the one that you're going to ask for, then go and live it. Know that if God has called you, He's gonna lead you, and He's gonna lead you to show you beautiful and extraordinary things. Be honest with yourself. Because if we're honest about ourselves, we'll see who we truly are and where God has given us those spiritual gifts. I remember wanting to be wise. I read about this dude, King Solomon, in the Bible. It said that he was the wisest man because he asked God for wisdom. And I remember saying, God, like, I want to be wise. Give me the gift of wisdom to give wise advice. And I remember knowing that God had given me that. And I'm not saying I'm the wisest man on the planet by any means. But guys, there's a difference in me because I asked God for His Holy Spirit, for His gift, And maybe you've noticed a difference in yourself. Maybe you've noticed that you have great compassion. Maybe you've noticed that you have this desire to share the gospel, or maybe you have this desire to have great faith. Guys, God has gifted you. He's given you not only natural gifts, natural abilities, but He's given you spiritual gifts. And if He hasn't yet, then ask. The only reason you don't have it is because you don't ask for it. Guys, God is a God of goodness. He's a God of goodness who loves to gift His children, who loves to see His children, us, live this life that He has, not being held down by sin, but living in freedom. See, because honesty goes a long way. God is very, very honest about how He feels with us. God is very honest about Himself. But I wonder if we're as honest. Maybe you put up a front. Maybe you're honestly not a Christian. Maybe you're honestly a fake person. Maybe you're honestly a person who loves Jesus but sins every day. Maybe you're honestly somebody that you're not. And that's okay, because honestly, there's a God who honestly loves you no matter what. So I want you tonight to be honest with yourself. To say, hey, am I wearing a mask or am I being real? Am I open to the Holy Spirit? Am I open to living this life that He's called me to? Am I open to being gifted to go and to heal and to have great faith and to pray for people and to love and to lead them to Jesus? Paul says, Romans 12, 1 through 6, and so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because all He has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind He will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship Him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give to each of you this warning. Don't think you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourself by the faith God has given us. Just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body and we all belong together. In His grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Spectrum, be honest about how God feels about you. If you know He loves you, don't fight it. If you know He's giving you this special ability that only you can do, do it. Don't fight it. There's this story in China. They built this dam over this plane. And the government was so tight, they were so afraid to let that water go, to water those farmers' crops, to water their land, that they built this dam to keep the water back. And eventually the pressure of the water burst and broke the dam, and there's this flood, and it flooded the plain and it watered the crops, and there was this beautiful harvest and there was this revival in the land. I wonder, friend, if you have a dam in your heart, if you're holding back the Spirit of God, if you're afraid to let it go out and to infect, to flood your church, to flood your city, to flood your school, your family, I wonder if that pressure is coming to a spot where it's going to break and you feel it and you're afraid. Guys, break it yourself. Let the Spirit flow through you. Let life flow through you. Let love flow through you, because, guys, you're made for something so much more than just sitting in a seat and doing nothing. It's a time for action. It's a time for revival. God wants to do something big. But we need to be willing to let Him flow in and through us. So be honest about yourself. Know that His gift of the Holy Spirit is our prize. That we're hands to hearts. He has a plan and a purpose in our spiritual gifting that He's equipped you. That when the time comes, He's going to flow through you. And He's going to tell you to speak, and you're going to speak. He's going to tell you to move, and you're going to move. He's going to tell you to go and pray or go and cry for that friend, and they're going to come to Jesus. Guys, be open to being used by God. Let the Spirit flow. Trust God. Use your gifts. Ask God for gifts. Don't hold back. He held nothing back for you. So why do you hold back for Him? Father, thank You for this message, God. Thank You that You care. Thank You that You're our Father. Thank You that You've gifted us, that You care enough to help us. God, I pray that Your Spirit would fall heavy on my friends, that it would fall heavy on me. God, we are sinners. We are unworthy. But You say that we're so worthy to You, God. We thank You for Your Spirit. We thank You that You have given us these special abilities. That it's only You, God. It really is. It's nothing good in us. It's all You. I pray that You would break our hearts, God, that we would tear down those walls. We would tear that dam down, God, that we would let You flow. We would let You flood our lives. We'd let You flood our schools. God, we pray for revival. We pray that Your Spirit would crush us, God. God, we pray that we would be so overwhelmed by Your Spirit, Father, that we would cry out to You, that we would be okay to heal, Lord, to see You heal, God, to speak in languages, Father, that we would be all about You, Jesus. God, You are King. We are dust. We thank You. God, I do pray as well for anybody who doesn't know You, or maybe they've been holding on too long. Jesus, I pray that they would just ask for forgiveness. They'd let You in. Pray that You'd move, Father. God, I pray that You'd give them courage to come up to us as leaders and to just admit that. God, be with my friends. Be with me. Spirit dwell heavy.